He's seen it from all sides. As a cop, as a clergyman, as a candidate, even a professional wrestler. Now he brings you both sides of the issues facing Naples and all of Southwest Florida. This is the Joe Whitehead Show. Call Joe now at 430-2428.
And welcome to the Joe Whitehead Show. I'm calling this episode Break Through the Wall. I'm your guest host, John DePrisco. Joe will be back next week. Producer Paul in the control room, how are you today? Looking good. And we are live and armed. That is, we are armed with truth, intelligence, and logic. And Florida State Statute 790. We take your calls live at 239-430-2428. That's 430-CHAT. 430-2428. Today I have two in-studio guests, and we're going to give almost the whole show to this because it's just a rich, rich story. And to my right is Fran Tinley Fiddler. He's a father, husband. He's a survivor of the Hawaii Ironman and many triathlons. He's a survivor of alcoholism. He's a survivor of being arrested. He's a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. And most recently, he's a survivor of writing a book. The book is called Tiny's Wall, a true story of one man's battle to overcome the shame of childhood sexual abuse. And Fran, welcome today. Welcome back, I should say.
Thank you very much, John. It's good to be back.
And also in studio with me is John Maines. He's a retired Naples PD lieutenant. He's currently in real estate, and he's a survivor of being the arresting officer. John, hi. Welcome back.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
And also on the phone is Doug Rankin. He's the Collier County Committee Man to the Republican Party of Florida. And we'll be getting to him with the front line in just a minute. Today's episode is what I call Break Through the Wall. Fran's nickname is Tiny. And so he calls this Tiny's Wall. So we're talking about, you know, the physical wall that athletes hit, you know, especially like in a marathon where they hit the wall. But also a metaphorical wall that you might hit when you hit a major life's obstacle. So we're going to be going over this book. Fran was nice enough to send me an electronic copy, and I could not stop reading it. It took me 4 hours, and I went through the whole thing front to back. It is a must read. And so we will be talking about that for most of the show. But right now, we're going to get to our first segment, which is From the Front Line, and Doug Rankin. Doug, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning, and I'm live and armed, too.
What do we got today, Doug?
Oh, all sorts of things. We've got the media trying to make something out of nothing regarding Trump. And basically, it is not illegal to pay off somebody under the circumstances when they're trying to give you a hard time, mostly fake story, like Trump probably did for Stormy Daniels, whose attorney is now in a heap of trouble, and so is she, because Trump's going to bankrupt them both.
Right.
Which is good. You know, they're going to get somewhere between $300,000 and $800,000 out of them. So that's a good day. You know, but that is not a crime, and they're trying to make one out of it. They pretty much got to the point where there's no Russia collusion. This is all just a bunch of nonsense. But what we did have come out this last week is an email chain that basically ties all this together about this big coup conspiracy by the
Justice Department and the FBI.
Justice Department and the FBI,
yep,
to try and limit Trump or keep him from being elected, and then when he was elected, try and neuter him or give him a hard time so he couldn't accomplish anything.
Right.
And thank God Trump hasn't let any of this slow him down, and thank God this is now getting exposed. And basically, even Comey's firing may have been part of the conspiracy between him and this other guy. It starts with an R, Ron Rosenstein, or whatever his name is.
Yep.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, you know, if anybody told me 10 years ago that the Justice Department and the FBI would be involved in a coup against the president, I would have told you that you were nuts. That was what happened in Banana Republics. Well,
right.
Welcome to America now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The other thing I'll tell you as an attorney, and this is going to hurt our country in a lot of ways, but any attorney that's got any sense from here on out is going to tell anybody who's asked any questions by the FBI or Justice Department to say, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, yeah, they shot themselves in the foot with that.
Yeah, because, you know, basically, and this is going to impact our ability to fight terrorism, drugs, and everything, because, quite frankly, if I saw something, I'm not even sure I'd talk to them anymore.
Right.
Because if some jerk in that department decided I didn't have an absolutely perfect memory, they could come back and try and charge me with perjury.
Right.
And so nobody should talk to them anymore.
Yeah.
And that's their stupidity, and I know there's a lot of good guys and gals out on the line, but when leadership sets the standard and the guys and gals on the line have to follow it, and as long as that's the standard, then to hell with them.
Yeah.
You know, quite frankly. And then the other thing that's going on, I noticed in Paris, is, in fact, I was just listening to public radio before I came on with you.
Yep, and we just had ABC News on just before we came on.
Right, and they, you know, they're mentioning all these riots in Paris, and they're mentioning the gas tax. They're not saying why the gas tax was put in place for this alleged global warming.
Right.
So global warming is burning down Paris and burning down France and about ready to cause a damn revolution there. And it's also happening right now, according to the most recent reports, it's also happening in Belgium and the Netherlands, and they think we're next.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a realistic thing for people to be really upset when their gas goes up in price.
Yeah, and especially for a bunch of nonsense. And now, you know, last week when I was on with Joe, I was talking about the Marauder minimum that may have already started. They were thinking 2020, and then for the next 20 or 30 years.
Right.
And now I saw an article out just a couple of days ago where finally the global warming idiots are acknowledging this is happening, but they're saying it's not going to have an impact.
Right. Now, the Marauder minimum is a solar event, right, that occurs regularly?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, not regularly.
No.
Last time was 1645 to 1720, or 40.
Okay.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
But it does happen, and we know.
That was 1066.
Right. So we do know it occurs, and we know why a little bit, about sunspots and all that. And
no sunspots. There are no sunspots.
Right. Yeah.
Which causes this planet to bleed heat into space big time.
Right. So,
in fact, what happened in 1066?
Wasn't that a mini ice age?
Well, what else happened in 1066 that was directly coordinated with that?
Yeah. Yeah. William of Normandy.
The Normans, who were adapted to the cold, took over most of Europe, both France and England. And so these events do have consequences.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're about ready to ruin our economies for something that we may need to do the exact opposite of.
Yeah, I mean, we're such a tiny percentage of what goes on. It's laughable.
Yeah, and then now back in the 80s, the sun was really acting up. And the polar caps on Mars were melting. Please explain to me what we had to do with that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Anyway, but I got something else to talk about. The Women's Republican Club is meeting this Friday at 11:30 to 1:30, and they're having a very, very big speaker. It's a very famous senator. I'm sorry, I was caught on a call that I'll tell you about in a minute, so I couldn't remember the name of the senator. But it is a top billing event, and anybody that wants to go, you know, it's over there at Tiburon.
Okay.
And this coming Friday, and men and women are invited both, and they're expecting a big crowd, and you have to get your reservations in advance on the Women's Republican Club website.
Alrighty.
Because this is going to be a big deal. Now, the call I just got off of was with the state committee man in Sarasota.
Okay.
And I was also just at the Christmas party in the Palm Beach Republican Party.
Alrighty.
And unfortunately, some of my locals didn't cooperate in getting Byron to be our new chairman.
Oh, yeah.
So we lost the opportunity to have our chairman be the chairman of the Republican Party of Florida.
Aw.
because you can't run for chairman of the Republican Party of Florida unless you are an officer like myself or chairman.
Right.
Okay. And we got a good chairman here locally, is Russell Tuff. I've known him for a long time, and that's great. But we lost the opportunity to have a essentially be the top of the entire state. So yeah. Instead now we're looking at the chairman of Sarasota County, Joe Gruters, who I've known for a long, long time. In fact, he used to work for somebody that I went to high school with. And he is probably going to be our next chairman.
Okay.
And his state committee man, Mr. Ziegler, is going to be our vice chairman. Michael Burnett, who is the chairman of Palm Beach and the current vice chairman of the party, he's an African-American attorney. He decided he doesn't want to run for those positions anymore. He's going to do it, continue to do the great job he's doing in Palm Beach. And he'll probably run next time.
Okay.
But you know, we're going to end up with a great thing, and I'm going to tell you, those are great people, and that's a direct line to the White House, because Joe, long before Trump thought of running for president, Trump was doing Joe favors, helping raise money for the party up there in Sarasota.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, Doug, we are about to come up on a break. Do you want to say any final thoughts to the listening audience?
Well, just understand the news you're hearing from the major ones is all lies, and it's all slanted in their direction. And it's like public radio. They didn't mention a word about the fact that, you know, this guy, they had a guy on there from France who's starving, and he's going to get hit by more taxes, and they didn't mention a word that it was all about this global warming nonsense.
Right, right. Well, Doug, we appreciate you coming on the phone with us, and we'll hear from you next week, and thanks very much.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, and that's bringing us up to our first break. Before we do, Joe likes to mention AC by Florida Comfort Systems. They are locally owned and operated by Denny Martin. He's a veteran. You can reach them at 774-5501 or on the web at acbyfcs.com. That's acbyfcs.com. All employees are background checked and drug tested. They're the ones with the Cool Dog logo on their van. Again, you can reach them at 774-5501. And I get to say I've actually had to use them when I had an emergency with my AC. So they take very good care of you. And you can see all the sponsors on the JoeWhiteheadShow.com. And with that, we're going to our first break.
98.9 WGUF.
This is the city. Naples, Bonita Springs, Florida. I work here. I'm a locksmith. BB Locksmith. It was season. Everyone's guard was down. Tourists and snowbirds were settled in. Locals were oblivious to the crime being committed around them. That's when I got the call. BB Locksmith.
I need help.
Just the facts, ma'am.
There have been several break-ins in my neighborhood.
Not surprising. In the last quarter, over 1,800 property crimes were reported. And in the last year, the number was almost 8,000.
I think I should improve my locks.
With two shops and a half dozen mobile service vehicles, BB Locksmith can help before you become another statistic.
BB Locksmith is family-owned and operated, and we genuinely care about our neighbors and their security. Find us at bblocksmith.com or call BB Locksmith 239-262-2000.
Thank you, BB Locksmith.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
BB Locksmith, 262-2000.
Hey, do you want to save, I mean big money? Well, then you need to be purchasing your printer ink cartridge refills at Cartridge Depot. That's right, save up to 50%. 50% less than the big store prices. They're locally owned and operated. These are real people who live right here in Collier County with real answers to your questions. Go in and check out Cartridge Depot. Save big bucks. Get quality products. And by the way, they actually test out their cartridges before they sell them to you. That's right. Quality control from Cartridge Depot. Good products. Save big bucks. Check them out. Cartridge Depot, 2622 Tamiami Trail North. Go there today. Check them out on the JoeWhiteheadShow.com.
And we are back live with our in-studio guest on the Joe Whitehead Show. If you want to talk to us, we take the calls live. It's 430-CHAT. That's 430-2428. And I'm just super thrilled about our guest today. Fran Tiny Fiddler wrote a book, and he was nice enough to send it to me. I could not put it down. I read it for 4 hours. And we've got the first draft in my hand. It's called Tiny's Wall, A True Story of One Man's Battle to Overcome the Shame of Childhood Sexual Abuse. And Fran also was arrested, and that's part of the story. And his arresting officer, John Maines, is in here with us as well. Gentlemen, welcome back. And Fran, let's just start from the start.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate you having us back. And I'd like to just say thank you to John and for being here and through the years. I was arrested in 1991. I thought my life was okay. I was just going to keep on shucking and jiving and pretend that my life was okay on the outside. But I was hurting inside.
And in fact, the book starts with the word stop.
Right.
And it's a quote of John yelling at you.
It is.
Yeah.
Right, right. And I was like, nope, I'm out of here. And I had no reason to run, really. You know, I had a knee injury at the time. That was kind of bothering me a little bit. But really, there was no reason to run. Right. But I was – something inside me was just tired of hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought that I could deal with the childhood sexual abuse in my life, which happened between the ages of 4 and 16 when often I was running away.
So you were born in Boston in the projects.
I was born in South Boston. Mm-hmm. Or
not that we can hear it in your...
Right. And really, I had, outside of my mother and my youngest uncle, I really had a really, really great childhood as far as my grandparents go, as far as my other uncles and aunts go, my sister... Without my sister Kathy, I mean, I really wouldn't have made it out anywhere. So beginning with her and then trickling out to the wonderful friends I have, I've had a lot of support. But I was always shucking and jiving until John said, stop. And I said, I can't stop. I'm already running. So with that, John chased me and I really thought I could get away.
But three thoughts went through your head as that was happening, and they were?
Well, the three thoughts were so clear to me, pretty much that similar voice I heard 2 years ago when I began to actually write this book. But the first thought was, one, he could shoot me in the back, and that would be all right.
And that would be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And So with that thought, really, I mean, I continued to run.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really fed up. I really didn't know how to stop anymore. The second thought was that I needed to deal with the childhood sexual abuse in my life. And the third thing was that I still laugh about today was I couldn't stop and turn around and tell the arresting officer that I was running from what these first two clear thoughts were and that I was really okay and
right.
that now I know what's wrong.
Right.
I mean, let's just call it a day. I'm sorry, you know. I mean, I'm sorry I'm running, but, you know, we're okay now. And with that, I fell again and, you know, John tackled me and the rest, you know, the rest really began me on my journey right. to recover and heal.
So, John, that had to be quite a foot chase.
Well,
because he's a marathon runner.
I would have been okay if he had turned right around as soon as he started running and
right.
we had that conversation. But after chasing him a quarter to a half mile, and unfortunately, I think he had a couple beers on board that otherwise I'd have never caught him.
Right.
And yeah, it's just kind of interesting how God orchestrates things. I was driving down Gulf Shore Boulevard. I see a Jeep sitting over there with its lights on. The businesses are closed, and I'm going to run home to a little gathering after work. And I just felt pulled to go over there and check it out and see Fran, tell him to stop. He takes off running. We chase and chase and chase. And I get over by the concession stand at Loudermilk Park, and I said to myself, I'm giving him 10 more steps, and if I don't catch him, I quit. And just as I said that, that's when he starts to stumble a little
oh, no.
bit, and I catch him over by the volleyball courts. But Yeah, you might call him tiny, but he's a strong dude.
Yeah. and so you had called for backup.
I had called for backup. Unfortunately, after we tussled for a while on the ground, and it was kind of a stalemate there for a while, my backup got there, and we helped get him in the car and brought him to jail. But, you know, Fran was very remorseful in the car. Mm. And there was just something that struck me about it, that how sincere he was. And anyway, months later, I get a call from his attorney, and we work out a deal. And it was only because of his remorsefulness, and I just kind of felt something there that, you know, this is a decent guy. There's something going on, and that was it. So
Fran, now you're into the court system, and there were some interventions, and you took it seriously.
Well, I had a young son,
mm-hmm.
and I was a single dad at the time, and never having had a dad, I always wanted to be a dad. And so I didn't know really how to seek the help that I felt I needed. But since I was drinking at the time, I got arrested. And we have a family history of alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And my biggest fear of dealing with the sexual abuse in my childhood was that I would get halfway through and just say, you know what, I'm really okay. I'm really all right. And so I really felt like I needed to find a way to put the drink down and keep it down and seek the help I needed. And then gradually through the recovery rooms I found and the healing, 27 years later, plus I'm still in recovery. I'm still healing. I really resisted writing this book. I fought tooth and nail within my soul with the God of my understanding, who I call Jesus Christ, because I think having a young son, I didn't want his friends to know about his dad, you know, feeling wounded or hurt or violated that way. Right. The other thing was I just thought God had the wrong guy. I mean, one, I'm not a writer. Two, I stutter. Three, I'm not that strong to write this. So I kind of put it off and kept putting it off, even though I had written this or most of it maybe 25 years ago. And then just through different types of surgeries I've had to have, knee surgery as well as open heart surgery, the Lord put me back in the hospital 2 years ago around this time and said, look, you know, it was that same voice I heard while running from John 27 years ago was, look, write the book. It's got nothing to do about you anymore. It might be your name, but you can help someone else. And again, I said, look, you got the wrong guy. But I'll trust you enough to go ahead. And but I think that there's going to be too many obstacles, and I'm just not going to finish it. And so lo and behold, one day at a time, here we are 2 years later, and the book is now done. It's crazy, really.
And it is now available on Amazon. It just became available. You look for Fran Fidler?
Yes, sir.
On Amazon, it's Fidler.
Right.
And it's interesting because in the book, some of the themes that you carry through or the storylines, writing the book is one of the themes, which I found fascinating. And also your relationship with John. I mean, a couple of years later, like 5 or 6 years later, you reached out. You felt you had to reach out to him. And
I really wanted to find him. One, I'd just say thank you, because realistically, that thought of him shooting me in the back was so clear. Mm-hmm. Was like, you know, who is this guy running from me, and why is he running? There's got to be something he's hiding.
Right, right.
Right? And so I really wanted to find him and just say thank you. And through the years, I wanted to just try to keep that relationship alive as far as letting him know that he's helped someone. Yeah. And that
means a lot to a police officer. Yeah. Yeah, it really does.
So You know, and I wanted him to know that my son and I are doing well, that I'm still in recovery. I'm still healing, but we're well.
Yeah.
We're well. And he's a big part of it, because without that happening that night, I mean, I'd still be hiding, really. I'd still be, you know, shucking and jiving and pretending I'm okay.
Right. In fact, you call it guilt and shame in the book.
Right.
Even though you were the victim, you felt like you carried that.
Well, I think that the perpetrator has a way of manipulating you, because they get you so young.
Right.
And so they intimidate you with words, and they instill that shame. And they know everybody else's whereabouts, so they know when to attack.
Right. They're predators.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, even though my abuse happened between the ages of 4 and 16 years of age, and I was running away so much and hiding, I still hid it, even though it had stopped at 16 when I confronted him one-on-one.
Right.
The next 19 years I hid until I was running from John.
Wow.
So.
All right, so we are now up on our second break, but when we come back, we're going to get right back into this, because it's just a fascinating story. You've got to get the book, I'm telling you. And, of course, you can see all of our sponsors on the JoeWhiteheadShow.com website. Joe likes to talk about Alessi Family Care. They're at AlessiFamilyCare.com. You can reach them at 992-5444, and it's Dr. Albert and Dr. Patricia Alessi and their PA, Aaron. I get to say I've used them for 18 or 19 years, my whole family. We call them Mr. Dr. Alessi and Mrs. Dr. Alessi. And my kids really love Erin because of the sports medicine. And, you know, she takes care of them when they had their injuries. And so you can reach them at 992-5444. And with that, we're going on break.
98.9 WGUF.
Managing your lawn care needs is a priority for all homeowners. Classic Lawns is number one when it comes to mowing, trimming, fertilizing, and landscaping. Owner and hands-on manager Manny Torero can give you an estimate and get the job done. Classic Lawns of Collier County is my own lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming choice. Make them yours. Classic Lawns offers the best lawn care at reasonable rates. If you want the best, call Classic Lawns of Collier County Incorporated. Call them today at 455-6900. You'll be glad you did.
This is the city. Naples, Bonita Springs, Florida. I work here. I'm a locksmith. BB Locksmith. It was season. Everyone's guard was down. Tourists and snowbirds were settled in. Locals were oblivious to the crime being committed around them. That's when I got the call. BB Locksmith.
I need help.
Just the facts, ma'am.
There have been several break-ins in my neighborhood.
Not surprising. In the last quarter, over 1,800 property crimes were reported. And in the last year, the number was almost 8,000.
I think I should improve my locks.
With two shops and a half dozen mobile service vehicles, BB Locksmith can help before you become another statistic.
BB Locksmith is family-owned and operated, and we genuinely care about our neighbors and their security. Find us at bblocksmith.com or call BB Locksmith 239-262-2000.
Thank you, BB Locksmith.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
BB Locksmith, 262-2000.
And we are back on the Joe Whitehead Show, and we have our in-studio guests. Also, I want to mention that we are going to be hearing from Dave Balduc probably in about 15 minutes. He's going to be talking about a fundraiser at Mason Classical Academy, and it's being put on by their Mu Alpha Theta Society, which I think is their math club. They're doing a car wash, and he's going to tell us where and when. So if you're out and about right now, go to the bank and hit it up for some 20s, and then go get your car washed. But we are back in the studio, and let's come back to John Maines, the arresting officer. And so we had a little bit of story about how he was reaching out to you after his arrest.
Yes, 5-7 years later, it was on a Thanksgiving evening. I was working at the police department. I'm standing there in the front window, and here comes Fran walking through the front door. And I recognize him. He's got a catchy name, Fran Fiddler.
Yeah.
And I remembered him. And I said, "Hey, Fran, how are you doing?" And he goes, "Oh, you remembered me." And I'm like, Well, yeah, I said, you're the longest foot pursuit I ever had. And I said, what's going on? And he went on to tell what he just spoke about, you know, getting in recovery, uh-huh. reestablishing a relationship with his son. And it was very touching. I almost started crying. And I'm like, I got to stop this because I'm going to start blubbering in front of all my buddies back there and I'm not going to look tough. But in all seriousness, it was unbelievable. And then over the years, a few years after that, he had organized a run for one of the local, Youth Haven?
It was, yes.
Yeah. And he had popped into my office back at that time. I was working down out of near City Hall out of Station 1, and he asked me to shoot the starter's pistol for the run up in Pelican Bay. And I said, man, that's an honor. Well, at that time, Fran shared a little bit of his abuse, mm-hmm. and it was really eye-opening, and things kind of came into focus. But then after that, our paths crossed a couple of times in town, and we talked briefly. And every year, he would send me a little thank you card on his anniversary date of sobriety. And it was cool, but there was never a return address. And I really probably wasn't supposed to reach out and establish a relationship with him. And fast forward a number of years, I'm in internal affairs, and I was doing a very stressful investigation on an officer. And I was under a lot of stress. The officer was under a lot of stress. And Fran sends me a medallion, a serenity prayer medallion. And I'm just like, geez, this is amazing, God, how this works. That here he's thanking me, but it was actually very uplifting for me at the time. And a year or two after that, I get an invite to his wedding, to Gene and Fran's wedding. And for one reason or another, Kathy and I couldn't attend. I think we were up in Wisconsin. And then fast forward to I retire, and I was going around, I was looking at maybe getting a job at the Naples Beach Club, and I'm going around meeting the different people in different departments. I run into Gina, and I introduce myself, and she says, John Maines, you know my husband, Fran Fiddler. And I'm like, oh, is that wild? So I gave her a card. And at the time, I just started a real estate career, too. And I gave them a card, and they reached out to me. But it was just a really neat thing. And then come to find out, we go to the same church. And it was back in 2009 or 10, I guess. Actually, no, it was 11 or 12. Anyway, I'm standing at a big church in town. And my wife's visiting with people. And I'm watching the people mill around. And here comes Fran and Gina walking up. And I'm like, this is just amazing. And we talked, and you know, and then they went on their way. And a couple minutes later, that officer that I was doing the IA in years ago comes walking the other direction.
No.
It was unbelievable. I just looked and said, God, that's how these pieces of the puzzle are all fitting together is just amazing.
But that was a peaceful
coming
together, and you found out that he is a deacon in the church, or
yeah, I think he is a deacon now, and we get along fine, and oh, everybody's at peace with everybody, and it's all good.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow, just an incredible story. And Fran, so, you know, you had aspirations of actually going to the Olympics at one time because you were a swimmer.
Right.
And
I wasn't that good, but that was my hope. But
in the book, I just want to mention that briefly in the book, you mentioned about Boston College, Tennessee, Miami. I mean, you went to these different places and spoke to these different coaches, and in their own way, they impacted your life, even if you ended up not going into the Olympics.
Yes. Big time. I mean, the head coach at Boston College, Tom Groden is his name. He's now retired after many successful years. But he invited me to his house, and he had actually – I was working out at the complex there, and he asked me if I was going to try out for the team.
Uh-huh.
And I said – man, I'd love to, but I'm only a junior in high school. And so anyways, he invited me to their home, and we talked, and it was very, very nice.
Yeah.
I think the fear of the sexual abuse, my childhood sexual abuse, being known to anyone, I just couldn't be transparent.
Right.
And so... you know, I had a very bad stutter at the time as well, and so I went to Roanoke, Virginia for a month. I think it was October or November of 1976, and where they worked on helping me with my stutter, and it was 10 hours a day. Each syllable took 2 seconds, and it was just work. Mm-hmm. And then... somewhere in that phase, I had contacted the University of Tennessee in Knoxville swim coach, Ray Bassad, and he invited me down to the campus. And he set me up for in the dorm, 48 hours, NCAA rules at the time, and took me around campus, was so kind to me. But the hottest part was, so I just left this speech school to improve my stuttering, and I'm walking down the hallway to his office, and there's all these Olympians on the wall and pitchers and gold medalists and everything. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing here? And I sat down in his office. He invited me in, and, you know, he introduced himself, and it must have taken me 5 minutes to just say, hi, my name is Fran. Yeah. And I couldn't even get out Fiddler. Oh. And, you know, and he sat there, and I finally got out Fiddler, and he got up, excused himself. I mean, I think he walked out the door shaking his head saying, what did he get himself into? Anyways, he came back into the room, and he really took me around campus and was so kind to me, and invited me to come back to school. So this was December of 77, I believe. And I went back home, talked to my grandmother, and realistically, I wasn't going to go there because of I still couldn't be transparent about it. Right. You know, I didn't want anybody to find out. I mean, my family was my family. I mean, regardless of how I felt. Right. So the shame and stuff, you know, I kept within, and I didn't know anyone in Miami, but a swim coach had written me there, and I borrowed $50 from an aunt and uncle at the time, and I got on a plane, and I went down to Miami.
Yeah.
And I stayed there for 2 years.
Right.
And then it was the 1980 Olympic boycott.
Right.
But I really wasn't that good, really. I mean, I want to say that. But that was the goal of, that got me out of the house. That got me out of Boston. That got me away.
Yeah. And the $50 plays a part in the book. You've got to read it. I mean, it's just a fantastic book. And so fast forward, you end up in Naples. You're into the restaurant scene. You're working the restaurants, the bars, and you know, you're meeting good people from, you know, from the point of view of you're honest people, but you still come back to what you call the secret and what's stopping you from being transparent. And then that fateful day on March 15th, 1991, you hear stop and you keep running. And here we are with the book.
Well, I was keyed up for St. Patrick's Day, mm-hmm. You know, my grandparents and where I grew up in South Boston, we have the South Boston St. Patrick's Day parade that runs through it every year. And, I mean, that was a big part of the fun part,
right.
You know? And so I was hoping to establish that with my son. So mm-hmm. The year before, we had Sam's first annual St. Patty's Day bash. And so here it was, a Friday night, March 15th, 1991, and it was going to be a smaller version, but we were still going to have Sam's second annual St. Patty's Day bash, and then here comes John Maines and ruined it all. I'm so blessed, really. Yeah. I'm really so blessed that he came into my life, and my son and I, and Gina and I, we all have a great St. Patty's Day,
awesome.
Still. So,
and Sam, your son, has passed the Florida bar. Is that correct?
So Sam worked full time days, went to law school at night for 5 years, mm-hmm. And he graduated in May of this year. Took the Florida bar in July. Found that he was accepted, and passed the bar on his first time in October, and now he's out into the work world, and you know, God bless him.
Awesome. It's just a great story. And let's talk a little bit about the athletics. You know, starting young, you know, you were into swimming, you were into half ball, you were into stick ball. Boys club played a big part in your life.
The boys club was a big pod, which is now the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. But really, between my sister, my youngest half brother, and my friendships, sports was always that was the big part of it. I found that athletics did a lot of my talking for me, and when I stuttered bad. My athletics got me picked on teams. And so even if I wasn't great at them, a lot of times my energy or my competitiveness spoke for me. So, but the Boys Club, and in particular the Boys Clubs of South Boston, now the Boys and Girls Club,
And you call that area?
It was everything to me.
You call that area Southie?
Southie.
That's the official.
Well, people in South Boston don't call it Southie,
right,
but,
okay.
But it's known as Southie. And really, we all think it's gotten a bad rap, but there's a lot of good people there, a lot of heartwarming, loving, caring people.
Yeah. And you were in the projects and.
Yeah, so. My sister and I bounce around from, different areas of the projects, from the D Street projects to the Old Harbor projects. We were in a couple of low-income housings as well. But the richness of the friendships and, and there's always church, too.
There's so. A different kind of wealth.
Right.
That's there, yeah.
Right.
And we are up on our third break. As always, you can find... the sponsors on thejoewhiteheadshow.com. And hopefully Dave is listening and he's going to call in and talk about the charity car wash. And now I got to say, Joe loves to talk about the Neapolitan Gourmet, and rightly so. They have the best food. They have Italian imports, and they have a kitchen in the back, and they just make the best food. They have a full deli. And Joe really loves a special sub that he orders there with the soppressata and the special cheese. And it's owned by Vinny, and I call him my cousin Vinny. I've known him for a long time. They really do make the best food. And so you got to check them out. They're in the Bed Bath & Beyond Center on Airport and Pine Ridge. And so go see them and ask for Joe's special sub. And with that, we'll go on break.
98.9 WGUF Naples FM Talk. Now you can listen live at WGUF989.com.
Hey, do you want to save? I mean big money? Well, then you need to be purchasing your printer ink cartridge refills at Cartridge Depot. That's right, save up to 50%. 50% less than the big store prices. They're locally owned and operated. These are real people who live right here in Collier County with real answers to your questions. Go in and check out Cartridge Depot. Save big bucks. Get quality products. And by the way, they actually test out their cartridges before they sell them to you. That's right. Quality control from Cartridge Depot. Good products. Save big bucks. Check them out. Cartridge Depot, 2622 Tamiami Trail North. Go there today.
Check them out on thejoewhiteheadshow.com.
Managing your lawn care needs is a priority for all homeowners. Classic Lawns is number one when it comes to mowing, trimming, fertilizing, and landscaping. Owner and hands-on manager Manny Torero can give you an estimate and get the job done. Classic Lawns of Collier County is my own lawn care, landscaping, and tree trimming choice. Make them yours. Classic Lawns offers the best lawn care at reasonable rates. If you want the best, call Classic Lawns of Collier County Incorporated. Call them today at 455-6900. You'll be glad you did.
And we are back on the Joe Whitehead Show. And I have my in-studio guests. And also on the phone, Dave Balduke. Dave, can you hear me?
I can. Good morning.
Good morning. What do we got going on today?
Well, last year I had the opportunity to call in, and I thought I'd call in again this year. Mason Classical Academy, the Mu Alpha Theta, which is essentially the math club, they're having a car wash fundraiser to help pay for their, when they travel to state competitions, and it's just a, you know, a great, you know, I think just a good charity and, or not charity, but a great way to, you know, get your car washed, donate $10 and, you know, do a, you know, an excellent, competition, which is the, you know, the map competition throughout the state.
Awesome. And where and when is that occurring?
Sure. It's, well, it's going on until, I believe 1 o'clock today. So if you're, driving around and, you in need of a car wash, feel free to head down there. It's at, 3073 Horseshoe Drive South, which for those of you who are not familiar with Horseshoe, it's, essentially right behind the racetrack gas station on Airport Pulling Road, which is a little north of the Naples Airport. Mm-hmm. And it is the busiest, racetrack in the entire state of Florida. So
wow.
I think that's a good marker for people to know. They'll see children out there from Mu Alpha Theta out there on the corner of Airport Pulling waving you in. So if you're in need of a car wash, please feel free to stop by and support a great cause.
Awesome. Well, Dave, we really appreciate that. And for our listeners, if you got a dirty car, you know, hit up the ATM, get a couple 20s, run your cars over there to Horseshoe Drive and Airport, and support Mu Alpha Theta in the Mason Classical Academy. Thanks a lot, Dave.
All right. Thanks again. Take care.
All right. And we are back with our in-studio guests. And, John, I want to talk a little bit about your competitive side. You've done the Hawaiian Ironman. I mean, sorry, not John. Fran. Yeah, you were running for different reasons. And, Fran, so you've done the Hawaiian Ironman. You've done Boston Marathons. You've put together events, and at one point, you had an aortic valve replacement, and 10 months later, you were in a competition again.
I was. I did a half Ironman triathlon up in Panama City. But if I could just share something.
Sure.
You know, I think it's from Matthew 17,
uh-huh.
verse 20. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And I think verses like that and quotes I've read in the past that inspired me or have encouraged me, there's something within me that I can't quit. Mm. I want to live life. I want to enjoy life. And I think there's a lot of boys and girls, men and women out there that have struggled with this childhood sexual abuse issue. And my hope is that this book can maybe be of encouragement to them to find their own healing path. And I think athletics has helped me. I don't think that's been the sole purpose of my survival, but between prayer and athletics, certainly I feel like I've been blessed. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of help out there. There's a lot of hurting people out there, and I just hope that we can help them.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, tinyswall.com. I mean, you can always go there. That's
right.
Your website. It's tinyswall.com.
Right.
You list a couple of resources on that site and also in your book,
right.
Malesurvivor.org, which in this Me Too movement that we've heard, you know, a lot of it is concentrated on the female side. We don't really hear, you know, the male side of surviving, you know, sexual assault.
Right. I think, and, you know, and I may be wrong. Like, I know when the Penn State issue hit,
mm-hmm.
You know, Mark and Mike were very big help for that on ESPN. And I don't know if there's a shame attached to, or that men feel more like, man, I don't want to put my name out there. I don't want to put my face on this.
Right.
And I think that the media can help that to find some men that are willing to put their name or face out there and help other men recover. And I know that there's a lot of abuse more to women, so we can't overlook that at all. But we need some help out there for men to trust that they're in a healing path or on a healing path and journey, and they're safe.
Right. And so some of the ones you list are RAIN, which is Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network, and they are at RAINN.org, and they can be reached at 800-656-HOPE. You list Child Help USA, and they're at childhelp.org, and they're at 800-422-4453. The National Domestic Violence Abuse Hotline, it's called thehotline.org. They're at 800-799-7233. And finally, you do mention the local AA chapter, which is aanaples.org, and they can be reached locally at 262-6535, and of course, your own website.
Right, and my website is, it needs help. but I think that the hope here is not only in sharing my story is that there's a lot of other helpful organizations out there that can bring help to the individual. Mm-hmm. So we tried to make this available, and we're willing to give away copies of the book if it can help someone of low income or in need to find that encouragement and inspiration for some help and hope.
Oh, that is awesome. And in the book, you have some quotes that I loved. On your website, you can read chapter one, and you can read the foreword, and that foreword was written by?
So the foreword was written by a good friend of mine, Dave McGilvery, who is the Boston Marathon race director. And I did Dave's first triathlon that he put on in 1982. And he's been a source of encouragement and help. He's also had some heart issues over the last several years. So one of my hopes after I had open heart surgery was to go out to Colorado and do some triathlons and try to get myself back on track. And I ran into some heart issues out there. Mm. So he was a good resource for me to call and find my way back or to find the help that I needed. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of resources out there. I've been so blessed because maybe it's because I haven't quit and that I've kept asking for help. And when I've asked for help and people have helped me, I've accepted that help.
That's an amazing point because the help is out there. We just got to get the word out. And, you know, you have to make an internal decision that, hey, I need this help. And amazing things do happen. You got to read this book. I'm not kidding. I could not put it down. I really enjoyed it. And it is now available on Amazon. And they can search Fran Fiddler. And I'm not kidding. You've got to read this book. It is rich. It's well written. And so, Fran, you know, any final thoughts on, you know, the secret, the guilt and shame, and how people can get over it and get their lives back in order?
I think it's a very slow process, John. Mm-hmm. I think, and I hope that you don't have to run from a police officer to find that help. But for me, that's what it took. And then knowing what I needed to do in the beginning to try to find the other help I needed, for me it was I needed to put the drink down and keep it down. Mm-hmm. So through that, if I could read something.
Sure.
So I was given this morning, and a friend of mine had shared it a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, wow, mm-hmm. That is so right on.
All right. Try to stay close to the mic, and go ahead.
So that was so right on for me. And he read, "Inspiration is much more than appreciation. there is a thrilling feeling of elevation, a burst of energy and awareness of enlarged possibilities. The person in the grip of inspiration has received, as if by magic, some new perception, some holistic understanding, along with the feeling that he or she is capable of more than they thought. I hope you will carry this with you always.
Wow. And so that's kind of...
So things like that I've just hung on to. Uh-huh. I mean, I hold them in my heart. I pray often, and I ask for help, and I believe that help comes.
Awesome. And Fran and John, I want to thank you both for being our guests today. This is just way too much to do in 1 hour. I mean, you've got to read the book. I also want to thank Gina and Kathy, their wives, who were supportive and sitting in with us. And again, if you want to get the book, and you really should, it's Tiny's Wall, a true story of one man's battle to overcome the shame of childhood sexual abuse. And you can find it on Amazon. And again, tinyswall.com. I want to thank all of our guests. And remember to keep the grill hot
and the soda cold.
Thanks, all.